Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Good afternoon, this Tuesday afternoon. How are you? 51551 for your texts. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. Sky-high CAO points leave some top-performing students without first choice. That's the headline on independent.ie by their education correspondent Catherine Donnelly. Everyone was predicting this, but now it has happened. And we're in this mad situation where if you got the maximum points available, 625, that's six H1s plus one of those being honours maths because you get the extra 25 points, you're still not guaranteed a place in some courses. That doesn't make sense to me. That means that the system is broken. It's not working. Anyway, there's a lot of gnashing of teeth, a lot of anxiety out there, I would imagine, among the people who are waiting for their CAO offers today. Could have been a great day when they got the results on Friday. You know, huge points. Thought they were guaranteed the course. And now with grade inflation, they won't get it. And that's odd that you got such high grades, and you don't get the place that you wanted in third level. Anyway, Beatrice Dooley, President of the Institute of Guidance Counsellors, will be talking to us before 4 o'clock. Beatrice Dooley, President of the Institute of Guidance Counsellors, she will have read up on everything. I'm just looking here. Dental science, 625 points. That's maximum points. That's up 12 points. What else there? Pharmacy, 613. That's up 23. So you have to get a lot of H1s to get up to 613. I think probably five in one of those honours maths. And there's law and French, tipped over 600 mark, 602. That's up 37 points. Psychology, up 34 points. Human health and disease, up 36 points to 601. So anyway, Beatrice will be on, and if you want to ask her any questions, feel free, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Now, I got involved in the hype this morning. I was listening to Morning Ireland and all the talk about Sally Rooney's new book and queues out the doors of bookshops all over the place. Got up, did whatever I do, read the papers, and then I got into the car down to Stillorgan expecting a big queue out the door to Bray Books in Stillorgan. No, I was the only person in there. And then I felt a little bit self-conscious that I was in there to buy Sally Rooney's book. I don't know why. So I bought another book first, and I said, oh, sure, I'll have one of those while I'm here. Anyway, Sally Rooney, Beautiful World, Where Are You? I've read the first three or four chapters, and I've been introduced to the two characters, Alice and Eileen, and Alice is a famous, world-famous novelist, and Eileen is an editor of a literary magazine. And their loves, the love interests, are Felix. Alice has met Felix in its first chapter. And then Eileen is on-off with Simon. They're one of those on-off relationships. Both ladies are in their early 30s. It's got great rave reviews. I just looked at the New York Times there. Just looked at it there, and it says, Beautiful World, Where Are You? Is Rooney's best novel yet. Funny and smart, full of sex and love and people doing their best to connect. And we heard the man from the bookshop in Castle Bar. And seemingly in London, there was a hoo-ha, and there were people queuing from 8 o'clock this morning when Waterstones opened with the book. So there's fans all over the world, and it's amazing. And I read Roisin Ingalls' interview with Sally Rooney on Saturday. I don't know if you read it. It's well worth a read. Roisin is a sort of a big fan from when she first picked up the first book, Conversation with Friends, and then she went along to the launch, and she's just smitten. She's completely smitten. And she interviewed her over Zoom, and it's one of the few interviews that Sally Rooney has given for the launch of this book. And it was a lovely interview, actually. And like Sally, I can understand completely. I think she does what she does. She's a writer, and all the other stuff, not really interested in. You know, all the fame part of it. She just enjoys what she does, and she's very, very good at it. And all the ancillary interviews and all that doesn't excite her, doesn't want to be involved in any way, shape or form. I see Marion Keyes has tweeted, happy publication day to Sally Rooney. It's absolutely wonderful that a young Irish woman is a worldwide literary sensation. I suppose adding Kiro Gela. So there, Beautiful World, Where Are You? And I was listening into conversations when I got into the shop because I was browsing, you see, browsing. I didn't want to go in and say, can I have the Sally Rooney book? So I was browsing, pretending to. And I heard one of the staff members say to the other, I'm not going to let you ruin my Sally Rooney day. I don't know what was going on there, but that was the conversation. Yesterday, we spoke to the two Byrne sisters who are part of the victorious Meath team. And I'm just seeing figures there from TG Cahir that broadcast the final on Sunday from Croke Park. Just under 600,000 TV viewers tuned in to watch the Meath ladies win their first senior All-Ireland crown and stop Dublin from completing their five in a row. That's big figures. So there were various averages and all that, but 600,000 is the top line figure there. TG Cahir is extremely proud of another successful year of the TG Cahir Ladies Football Championship, said TG Cahir Director General Alan Esselmont. And on the day, Doughy was there in all his glory doing interviews, and he was, you know, getting the crowd going, as is his wont. So every so often he'd go, who's shouting for me? Yay! Who's shouting for Dublin? Yay! Of course, next weekend, it's the turn of Mayo and Tyrone. I've been practicing that. Mayo and Tyrone. It's not Tyrone, it's Tyrone. And there's a great article in The Independent today. It's one of those lead up to the All-Ireland final type articles. And it's about the O'Neill's factory in Strabane, which is in Tyrone. And Marie McLaughlin, manager of the O'Neill's factory, described the appetite for jerseys this year as completely crazy in a Tyrone accent. The Independent visited the O'Neill's factory last Friday, and there were thousands of Mayo and Tyrone jerseys being stitched, packed and boxed. And they sell a lot of Tyrone jerseys up there out of the outlet shop, and then they sell most of their Mayo ones online. Sharon Donnell, who's one of the machinists in the factory, says she can finish up to 1,000 jerseys a day. We would always be busy before in All-Ireland, says Sharon, but this is something else altogether. So mad demand for jerseys. So it'll be the red and the red and the green and the white on Sunday when Tyrone take on Mayo. Leona Maguire is the sports person of the day, and her performance to help Europe win the Solheim Cup. I see Niall Horan is tweeting, if you're a young person looking for inspiration to get into golf, turn your TV on now. The Solheim Cup is incredible. And of course, is it Momentum? I think Momentum is his company. I think it's Momentum. Anyway, she is part of his agency, Niall Horan, and he's not just a face for it, he's very into golf. You probably know this already, and he's very much hands-on. And he believes that if he invests in young golfers like Leona Maguire, that it'll pay off in the end. And it's not because he wants to make loads of money out of it, but he wants to see young Irish golfers make it on a world stage. And that's exactly what Leona Maguire has done over the last couple of days. And well done to her. They were talking about cat scamming there with Philip on Liveline. I see the UK have made pet abduction a crime. The Home Secretary, Priti Patel, told the BBC, stealing a pet is an awful crime which can cause families great emotional distress whilst callous criminals line their pockets. The new offence of pet abduction acknowledges that animals are far more than just property and will give police an additional tool to bring these sickening individuals to justice. I wonder, will we follow suit? I wonder, is it a good idea to make pet abduction a crime? 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Ray, Mayo did well. They got rid of the Dubs. Yeah, well, their time isn't finished yet. Now that they have the Dubs out of the way, they'll be hoping they can bring Sam back across the Shannon. But of course, Tyrone will have something to say about that. Tweet from Carla Weller there, up to 28.6 in Kerry, recorded by Duke's Automatic Climate Station, located on the grounds of Duke's Golf Club, Len Bay, County Kerry. I'd never heard of Dukes before, and then I met somebody who went on holidays to Dukes this summer. It's near Killorgan, isn't it? It's by the sea. It must be a Lynx course there. 28.6 degrees down there today. Now, I better tell you about our quiz of today. Yeah, today is the 7th of September, and when it comes to reeling in the years in the future, I'm sure Sally Rooney will feature. Anyway, we have cobbled together 10 questions on events that happened on this day over the years, decades and centuries, and we want two people to come on and answer 5 questions each, and there is a prize. A 2-night break with dinner on one evening at the Radisson Blue Hotel and Spa in Limerick. And Limerick City, fantastic base to explore the wonders of both the Wild Atlantic Way and Ireland's ancient East. A short drive from the hotel, guests can marvel at the cliffs of Moher, learn to surf at the world-renowned Lahinch Beach, or soak up some history at Bunratty Castle and Folk Park, or visit King John's Castle if you don't want to get into the car. Inua.ie, Inua.ie for more details on the Radisson Blu Hotel and Spa in Limerick. Thank you. The match is on Saturday, not Sunday. There you go. They keep changing around. Tyrone Mayo on Saturday, not Sunday. Now, we're looking for two people. Here's your qualifying question. Which Irish county would you find the town of Leixlip? In which Irish county would you find the town of Leixlip? 1850-715-900. 1850-715-900. We're looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock and looking forward to having a chat with you. 51551 for text or ray@rte.ie for emails. Good afternoon. The great Sinead O'Connor and Mandinka on RTE Radio 1. 51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. Modest management, not momentum. I have momentum on the brain. I was out trying to teach, well, he knows how to cycle, but we were having a sort of refresher lesson in cycling last night, Tom, age 9, on his bike. And I kept telling him, it's all about momentum. Keep the momentum going. And he kept saying stamina. And I said, no, momentum. Stamina is a different thing. And then modest is a different thing again. That's the name of Niall Horan's golf management agency. Priti Patel, another politician trying to make a name for herself with a pet abduction law. There already is a law. It's called theft of property. It's a pity that these laws have poor enforcement. Regards, says Eugene. And a little dog was stolen from my neighbour's house. I've never seen a child so distressed. Pet abduction should be a serious crime with serious consequences. And I suppose, as Eugene questions there, it's about the enforcement of these laws. You can have as many laws as you like, but if they're not policed and enforced, they don't really matter that much, do they? 51551, quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, we're looking for people for the quiz. 1850-715-900. Two people after 4 o'clock and a great prize. A two-night stay in the Radisson Blu Hotel. And today's qualifying question. In which Irish county would you find the town of Leixlip? 1850-715-900. In which Irish county would you find the town of Leixlip? Now, Anita and Dom literally and metaphorically took the plunge over the weekend. They got married in Dunleary on Saturday, and then on Sunday, with a number of their guests, friends, family, all that, they took the metaphorical plunge when they jumped from the 40 foot in South County Dublin in the complete wedding gear. The wedding dress, the tux, the whole lot. They're currently on their honeymoon in Lisbon in Portugal, and they kindly agreed to take a call from us. Good afternoon, Anita and Dom.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Dom?
Hey, Ray.
How are you? Good to talk
great
to you. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
What's it like in Lisbon, Dom? What's the temperature there?
It's beautiful. It's, I mean, mild, but we're in a tropical garden in a place that's the Palace of Montserrat. So all different ecosystems. Beautiful.
Yes. And you're going to visit that lovely food hall. What's the name of that, Anita? You've probably planned your itinerary for your honeymoon.
Oh, I've looked up nothing. I was planning
not
a wedding for the last few weeks.
Right, okay.
I have no idea what's going on. I knew we were coming to Cintra after that. I don't know what's going on.
Right. No, there's a brilliant food hall down beside the train station there at the bottom of the hill.
Great. Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah.
Thank
you. It's, so you've loads to choose from there. Some of the best restaurants in Lisbon have little sort of, you know, stalls, if you like, around the place. And then there's a central eating area. It looks lovely. I didn't get a chance to go in myself. Now, listen, this is brilliant because it's gone a bit mad, isn't it? You're a little... So, Anita, whose idea was it and why?
Well, we swim in the sea, basically 40-foot sea point, Killiney, as much as we can, usually.
Yeah.
And before lockdown, I had a big party, birthday, and the next day we all went for a swim. And loads of my friends got in who'd never been in before. And they were all coming back again to Dublin for the wedding. Mm. And Dom had mentioned taking the plunge. And I was like, well, if we're going to take the plunge, we should really go for it.
Yeah. Right. And then, Dom, what did you say to that suggestion?
Oh, sure. Every day with Anita is an adventure. I just go along with it.
It's not like that at all, right? He was completely involved in everything.
but I'd say, you know, in going swimming attire, that a wedding dress is probably the least practical, Anita.
It is pretty unpractical, yes. But it was absolutely hilarious to do it in the wedding dress. It added an extra element of exhilaration I had felt in years.
So you got married on Saturday, as I was saying, in Dunleary, and then did you announce at the wedding that you were going to do this on Sunday?
No. So as part of the wedding invitation, we said 40-foot dip the day after, if weather allowed.
Right, okay.
So we had a lot of friends and family who were coming, even if they didn't swim before, brought their togs just in case they were going to get in that day.
Yeah, yeah. You had a beautiful day
first. We didn't say anything about the dress.
Brilliant. Yeah, because it's up there on your Instagram, and it's just a really joyful 20 or 30 seconds where you walk up into position holding hands. And then there's no dilly-dallying, not too much dilly-dallying, holding hands, you jump in, and there's a shriek from you, Anita, is there? When you hit the water?
There is. Well, there's no dilly-dallying because, very fortunately, the photographer, who's a college friend of mine, said, we're going to jump in the day after. Yeah. And he said, look, if I'm around, I'll come down. And he went for a swim himself and brought his camera. So that's the only reason we had a photographer there. And he took a few shots. And once you're down the 40-foot with a wedding dress on and a suit, everyone is just like, what's going on? They all just stopped and stared and started saying congratulations. It was really lovely, actually. Yeah. And as we headed up to jump off, people were like, she's going to fall in if she takes a picture up there. She's going to fall in.
Yes.
And then we just went for it. Yeah, I've never jumped off that high bit before, so that's probably why I shrieked.
isn't that brilliant? So it was
amazing.
A first. It was a first.
Yeah, it was for me anyway. I've never jumped off that before.
Because I know I don't want to get too much into the symbolism of it all, but you know, they talk about getting married as taking the plunge, and you did this literal taking the plunge thing, but you were doing it for the first time, which most people get married, it's for the first time, most people. So there's a lot of like you could definitely write a paper on this, the symbolism of it all.
Well, I had the biggest laughing fit after I got out of the water. I think I was just hyper from the whole thing. Yeah. Fortunately, we had, just to mention, because I wouldn't advise anyone going ahead and doing this on a regular basis, we had friends in the water who were really, really strong swimmers.
Great.
We also had advice about the dress. I had a safety pin underneath it so that it wouldn't go completely over my head and it wouldn't show everyone next week's washing.
Right.
So
that's a lovely phrase.
We had some people just helping us in case, for any reason, I didn't come back up.
I'm just intrigued as to where you get advice on jumping from the 40-foot in a wedding dress. It's not something that a lot of people would have done before.
We happened to have someone who was a guest at the wedding who actually manages, well, she's a coordinator for stunts.
Okay, right.
So she actually was like, I have a safety pin, I'll be there.
Right. And when you get in, because there's a lot of dress in a wedding dress, and yours was no different. So I'd imagine it naturally just comes up and maybe, you know, did it cover your head or something? What happened?
No, fortunately, with this little trick of the safety pin,
it kept it down. Yes,
but swimming out was a little bit difficult. I have to go backwards because I couldn't move forward with the dress.
Right. And Dom, you'd done it before, Adji. You'd jumped from that height.
Yeah, but not. I hadn't gotten married before. friends of ours, we jump in all the time. Obviously, when the tide is safe to do so, lovely spot there. Lovely spot.
Yeah, and you have the pictures and you have the video and you can play it in slow mo and what a wonderful.
It's so funny.
Go on.
Oh, it's amazing. And because we got up early this morning for a flight out of Dublin, and then when we landed into Lisbon, we turned on our phones and they just exploded. They were like, "Hey, people are sharing your photographs and all this," and we were like, "Oh, that's nice." Next thing. You know, but it's great to be able to spread the joy. Joy is the word that comes to mind when I saw the photographs. We were genuinely, we weren't even aware of, people taking photographs and stuff. Lots of people then came up to us afterwards and said, "Oh, we got shots of you jumping in and stuff." So,
And we all need a bit of joy right now.
That's what it was, and it's a catharsis, and I think we tried to mark the end of it. I mean, our wedding was a small family affair, so this is an opportunity to meet friends outdoors, safe, socially distanced.
How long are you going out together? How long are you going out together?
A couple of years now, but we got engaged during lockdown. The funny thing about it is I've only been telling people as I've been reading them. And so with lockdown, I actually have been keeping it quite low key. So, yeah, thanks, Ray. You pretty much told everybody I know now. Thanks for that. I don't have to do it individually.
Okay. Tom got married to Anita over the weekend.
So, yeah, thank you very much for that.
So, did you meet... one less thing to do,
Tick.
I was in a similar position. We just haven't seen anyone, so I text people saying I was engaged at Christmas, but we weren't due to get married till next year, but my brother and his wife couldn't come home from Australia anyway. The venues were available, so we kind of arranged the wedding in 3 months and 3 days. We had 3 days to register our certificate to the HSC, right. Just when it was hacked, and the phones were hacked. The appointment thing was hacked, the email was hacked, so we had a bit of a stressful time just trying to get the certificate, but...
You got it.
But a lot of people found out, I think, over the last 2 days as well, we come back.
Right.
We're
even, we should start a service here. That's just a sort of, because the other way they do in local radio, they do the deaths. We should do the marriages.
Yeah.
And today, Anita and Dom got married in Dunleary, and they proceeded to jump into the 40 foot the day after. So I'm just, it's Time Out Market in Lisbon. That's the, and it's near the metro station.
Oh, great.
Time Out Market. Yeah. So there. So how long are you in Lisbon for?
Just till the end of this week. We're back to work next week, but. And again, I haven't told anybody at work either. So
you haven't told anybody in work that you're married either. Okay.
There were other weddings, and I didn't want the sailors under, so I just flew in under the radar. But now I think of
what a lovely man! You've got a keeper there. You got a keeper there, don't you?
I definitely do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, congratulations again. Enjoy the rest of your honeymoon. And thanks so much for giving us a little bit of joy today. The pictures are in the Daily Mail. No mention of your names, just the pictures.
That's fine with us.
Okay, you're fine with that. Okay, right.
Yeah, good. I think as well, just, can I just say one more thing? Yes. Sorry, I just want to say thank you to everybody who gave wishes as well on the day. And it was just so much fun in the 40 foot that day. Everyone was hyper and laughing. It was just the best crack. So thank you to everyone for all the well wishes. We really appreciate them. When we get a chance, we'll actually reply.
Can I ask you one more question?
Yeah.
What was the first, was there a first dance or was music allowed or what did you do?
Well, the first rule of dance club is you do not talk about dance club.
Okay.
And the second rule of dance club is you do not talk about dance club. But Guy Garvey may have sung Wonderful World, maybe.
Ah.
Maybe.
Does he do a version of Wonderful World, does he?
Right.
Yeah, if he can play it, because it actually sounds like the crowd are singing along with him.
Okay, I don't know if it's on the computer, but we'll try and get it and play it before the end of the show. So Guy Garvey from Elbow sings Wonderful World, as in Louis Armstrong's Wonderful World. And I think to myself, lovely, right. I'm looking forward to hearing that.
If you can't get that, maybe another one you could play would be Declan O'Rourke's We Didn't Mean to Go to Sea.
We Didn't Mean to Go to Sea.
Yeah, that's a beautiful song, and it featured in the ceremony as well. So.
Great. Thanks, Dom. Thanks for those suggestions. See you. Good luck. Mind yourselves.
Thank you.
Congratulations again.
Thank
bye.
You
thank
much.
You so much.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551, ray@rte.ie. So as you've heard there and in the news, Sky High CAO points leave some top performing students without first choice. Beatrice Dooley is president of the Institute of Guidance Counsellors, and she's on the line now. How are you doing, Beatrice?
Hi, Ray. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for taking our call. So you've got a chance to have a look at this. It was predicted that there was going to be inflation, but not quite as bad as it has appeared.
Yeah, it's always hard to predict how things are going to happen. So there has been great inflation, absolutely. I suppose the positive thing to say, Ray, is that we have 4,500 additional places in some high points courses, which will take some of the pressure off. Mm. The other things which will help ease the pressure are we've roughly 4,500 Irish domiciled students who have accepted offers in UK universities, is a 26% increase in last year. Other things which will help, there are a couple of thousand, probably 2,500 UK applicants for CAO and a few more thousand from Europe who've applied to CAO, but they would have received an offer in their own country of origin last month. So a lot of those students will actually have decided, well, I'm going to go to college in my own country, which means in round two, we should see some more courses coming on stream. okay. when round two of CAO opens up September 20th.
So they're the pluses. The minuses are that there are students from last year who decided to take a year out and carry their points with them. And they're going to be extremely disappointed, aren't they?
Yeah, we've about 8,000 students from last year applying to CAO this year. And then you have the between 600 and 700 students who would have sat that delayed leaving cert back in November or December. And they would have performed 40% better than you know, in the written exams. Yes. So basically, we know those students are all, their names are in the pot as well. And that will put pressure. And we're seeing the pressure today. We can see, for example, in Trinity, we have 9 courses requiring more than 600 points, medicine, dental science, psychology, pharmacy, global business, law and French. And then at UCD, they have 6 courses looking for a minimum of 600 points.
Right. Will you explain to our listeners now who don't have people who are at that level of education, just to bring them into the story, because sometimes when they're listening at home, they feel a bit left out. So it's a H1 is like the old money A, about that, and you get 100 points for that. And you correct me if I'm wrong here, and 6 subjects are taken into account when you're going to university.
It's your best 6. So the kind of scoring now is in bands, like of 10%. If you think of it that in that way, that makes it easier. Yes. Easier on the nerves. A H1 is the highest grade you can get. So that's exceptional. You know, not all human beings are going to get a H1 in any, let alone all subjects. That's pretty hard to get. So it's to calculate your points, you look at the best 6 of your subjects. You calculate the best 6. But you also be successful in gaining a place for college is a little bit more complicated than that. You've got to satisfy minimum requirements. So you'll see if you look on college websites, for every course, they're looking for a minimum requirement in certain bread and butter subjects like maths, English. And then other courses might require a specific subject, like a science subject for a science course, for example.
Yeah. And then just people are warned, like 600 to 600, where do you get the 625? You get 25 bonus points for honours maths for a grade anything above H6.
That's right, if it's one of your 6 highest points.
Now, can we just interrogate this? So if you woke up on Friday and you went to your local school and you saw you got 625 points, you're going, I'm the king of the world, the queen of the world, I can do anything. But that's not the case.
Yes.
There are people who that's are on the maximum points who won't get their chosen course. Is that right?
That is correct. Excuse me. So what we know from today's press release from CAO is that 50% of the offers, which is half of the offers for an honours degree, were given to people for their first preference. So 50% of people got their first preference for an honours degree. Okay.
Yes.
And then 79% got their top 3. So that's pretty good. If you look at the level 6 and 7, now what am I talking about here, level 8, level 7? A level 8 is an honours degree. It's in a university. A level 6 or 7 is an ordinary level degree, and it's like 2 or 3 years. Sorry, did I say honours degree there? Yeah.
Yes,
so level
8
is an honours degree.
Yes.
Yeah, great. And level 6, 7 is an ordinary level degree. So for those applying for level 6 and 7 degrees, which is the ordinary level degree, 89% got their first preference.
Right.
And 98% got their top 3. So
they're all good figures. They're all good figures,
That's pretty reassuring.
But
you know,
just to go back to the 625, if people who got 625 haven't got their course of choice, does that mean that the system isn't fit for purpose? Do you see what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
It means that we're dealing with a pandemic.
Yeah.
And that all bets are off. That, you know, this is a very unusual situation. People are turning themselves inside out, trying to find the fair system. And it's like a Sophie's choice, Ray. You're Minister for Education. What do you do?
If you mark people tough,
you're going to have mental health issues. If you mark them easy, you know, this is what happens. There's no right answer here. They're doing their best. So basically what I can say in terms of a positive message for anybody who's disappointed, tomorrow at noon, available places open. Okay, have a look at that. You might be lucky. That's where courses go back in that weren't accepted today.
Fine.
On the 20th of September, you have round 2 of CAO. And there are five rounds of TO. It goes on until every seat is full in every lecture theatre, basically. They will keep going with the CEO. They're very determined. They're very determined people to get those seats full. Other things I can say to you is, if you're not happy with your results, you can go in and do your scripts. But can I just say, the timeline is very tight for this. So that opens at 5 o'clock today, September 7th. It closes tomorrow, September 8th at 8 p.m. So you have 27 hours from 5 o'clock today to apply to view your script. You can then view your script on Saturday and Sunday, the 11th and 12th. If you want to submit an appeal application, that has to happen the weekend of the 11th to the 13th. Mm. Okay. You don't have to view your script to make an appeal, but it's recommended that you do so that you know kind of what you're appealing. Okay. So that's just another option to maybe up your results if you feel those results aren't, a fair assessment of my ability.
Now, there's obviously going to be a knock-on effect to next year as well, and because that's going to be talked about, because people who decide not to take a place this year have the, for want of a better phrase, inflated grades. It'll go back to normal next year. And anyway, that's for another day. My son got 543 points. He received no offers from the CAO. The course he wanted rose from 517 last year to 558. And that's a rise of 41 points. What now?
I wonder what that course was, right? That'd be helpful information. Yes. But like, what now is, I guess, just to reiterate, you've got the available places open tomorrow and you've got round two open on the 20th of September. Depending on what his course is, I can't really talk in a vacuum, but if I knew what it was, I might be able to direct you. For example, you can look at FET. There's over 30,000 places available in every county in the country in further education colleges across a huge range. And you can either go straight to employment or progress on to CEO from those QQI level 5 and 6 courses. Okay. Apprenticeships, we've got 62 different types of apprenticeship across 14 industry sectors, ranging from the traditional craft apprenticeships like construction, motor apprenticeships, to the new ones like IT, finance, recruitment, sales, hospitality. They range from level 6 up to doctorate level if you want.
Do you think, just this is a broader question, after what's happened over the last couple of years, do you think that their serious consideration is going to go into changing the leave insert?
Well, it is. I mean, that is happening.
That's happening,
as we speak.
And will assessment be part of that?
I think it will be, because I think we've already moved there. You kind of go with the energy, I think, in life. So through this pandemic, we're there. We're in the assessment
stage. And how do you then deal with things that was on the front of the Irish Times yesterday? The bias towards girls, for example. The unconscious bias. You read that yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I think, all you can do, and we all have unconscious bias around, various things, and the scary part is we're not even aware we have them. No. So
they're unconscious, that's the thing.
That's the problem, Ray. They're unconscious. Yeah. So what you do there is, I guess that was the beauty of the leaving cert system, was that you had a transparent system. You didn't know who you didn't know the gender of the person that you're, whose script you're correcting or their nationality or anything about them. They're just a number. They're a six-digit number. So it was transparent, it was fair, it was democratic. And if you were, if something weird happens in that correcting space, which would be unusual, there's a whole kind of a hierarchy of people checking your work.
Yeah, I suppose it was flawed, but it was flawed for everybody. Equally flawed for everybody.
Yeah, it was a kind of an even playing field for everybody. Yes, and if you did the work, you got the results.
See, when you go into assessment by your teacher, it's not an even playing field. Anyway, that's for another day as well.
It's tricky.
You had one last thing to say before we let you go.
If I can just flag, there's a couple of helplines out there for students who may be, going through kind of confusion and decision-making today and over the next 2 weeks. There's the MPCPP, that's the second level National Parents Leaving Cert Helpline. It's worked on by guidance counsellors. It's a free phone service. The number is 1-800-265-165.
Great.
That's 1-800-265-165.
165, yeah.
It opened on Friday last week. It's open till Friday this week, and we might extend it if there's demand. There are two other helplines. There's the
Is one not enough? You'll just confuse people. Does that cover
well,
all?
Well, whatever
that,
you think.
Yeah, 1800-265-165. 1800-265-165, and those people will have the other numbers if they feel that the person isn't on the right number. 1800-265-165 if you need any help there. Beatrice Dooley, President of the Institute of Guidance Counsellors, thanks so much for talking to us today. Thanks, Beatrice.
You're very welcome.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, still on school, last week or so has been back to school time with children and parents all around the country relearning how to pack the bags in the evening, preparing lunches, dealing with the first day, butterflies, books here, books there. But back to school isn't the same for everyone. For some people, it takes a little bit more preparation to make sure everything runs smoothly. I'm joined now by one such mum, Maeve Brogan. Welcome to the show, Maeve.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for coming in. Now, we're here mainly to talk about your son, Fionn.
Yes.
Who is five.
He's five. I should say he's nearly six. He'd want me to say that. Right. Yeah.
When is he six?
He's six in October.
Oh, well, that's really important.
Yeah,
because it's imminent.
That's it. Yes. Nearly there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's the next birthday in the family.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the way it works, isn't it?
He has it planned out. Yeah.
Is he? Right. What's his plan? What's Fionn's plan?
Well, Fionn loves being outside. He loves getting up to any crack and any messing. So we're actually going to do an outdoor birthday party where they get to make fire and roast marshmallows.
Oh,
and
brilliant.
Superhero birthday cake, and it's all done. Yeah. He has it all planned.
He's a big superhero fan, I believe.
Massive. Fionn. Yeah. Massive, yeah.
So Fionn, five going on six.
Yes.
And he has Duchenne's muscular dystrophy.
He does.
Will you tell us about that condition?
Yep. So Duchenne muscular dystrophy, it's a progressive disease, and it means that his muscles are effectively wasting away. He was diagnosed when he was about three. We could see he was falling a lot. He would find it really difficult getting up steps and stairs, and that's the first sign. So what happens is, as Fionn uses his muscles, they can't repair themselves and they waste away. So it's unfortunately 100% fatal. As it moves through his body, he'll lose the use of his legs. It's already affecting his arms. He's getting aches and pains. And that was the one of the things I was talking about going back to school, was he's feeling a lot more pain now.
Yeah.
And eventually he will end up needing help with breathing and with feeding, because obviously your lungs, your heart, they're
muscles,
all muscles.
Muscles, yes.
Muscles, yeah.
So
yeah.
His muscles are a limited resource.
Absolutely. And time is a limited resource for him as well. Yeah.
What does it feel like as a parent getting that diagnosis?
Do you know, it's a very dark day. All the Duchenne families call it D-Day, the day that they got. It's like the before and after D-Day. Your lives utterly change. You become very, very trapped in your own grief. We call it a living grief. You have your child in front of you, but you know the time is limited and you just don't know when. Unfortunately, again, with Duchenne, there's really no treatment. They're looking at gene therapy and things like that, but that's all very far down the line. And with Fionn's genetics, he can't do any of that treatment anyway.
And it is a genetic disorder.
It is genetic disorder. And for families, that can affect you in many ways. So for a lot of families, they might have a couple of children with Duchenne. For us, we're still waiting on Greta's genetics to see if she's a carrier.
What age is Greta?
She's three. So
she could be a carrier and not have it.
She could be a carrier, or she could be a manifesting carrier. So she could be a carrier and pass it on to her own children, or she could be a manifesting carrier where she actually manifests the disease itself.
So she'll get it.
Not the full Duchenne, but it would be muscle weakness and things like that. So it's very much an unknown. There's a spectrum for carriers. For some, it doesn't affect you at all. For others, it can actually mean you have a heart condition that goes with it. So again, lots more unknowns.
So you and your partner wouldn't have known that one of you or both of you were carriers. Do both of you have to be carriers?
No, myself and Michael, my husband, no. As it turns out, neither of us. It's carried on the mother's genes.
Right.
I got tested. I'm not a carrier.
Right.
So it was just something spontaneous that happened. And it happens to about 1 in 3,500 boys.
So that's where it starts. It has to start somewhere. Is that what you're saying?
It has to start somewhere.
So now it's in the genes now.
Yes. Yeah. But it's not necessarily carried on.
Right.
It's a really complicated world. Like that's one of the things with diagnosis, is you get the diagnosis and you literally hit the books immediately trying to understand this whole new world.
Yeah.
you're straight into so many appointments, you're straight into making decisions, planning for the future. It hits you like a ton of bricks, and you kind of had to hit the, you have to hit the ground running with it.
You spoke about this living grief.
Yeah.
So you have a whole new way of looking at the world.
Absolutely.
And time.
And time.
And events and everything. So can you just articulate that a little bit for us?
Yeah, it, you know, we're all told to live in the moment, and you try to as much as possible, but it's very hard with Duchenne because every night, you know, when I put Fionn to bed and he gives me a cuddle and a kiss, I think, when is going to be the last time he can raise his arms to me? When will be the last time that he can raise his head to give me a kiss himself without needing help? So every September is really tough because you see the gap widening, you see Fionn struggling more.
Yeah.
Each birthday is so bittersweet because you want them to have a great day, but you're absolutely dying on the inside. So you have this brilliant perspective on life where you think, do you know what? So much of this rubbish does not matter. It really doesn't.
And there's an awful lot of it,
oh,
isn't there?
Oh my God, an awful lot. And that's great. And we've
Catherine Sapone texts and there, F off.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
pretty
does,
much, yeah. So we have a saying in our house that there's stress and there's hassle.
Yeah.
And hassle is one thing and stress is Duchenne. Duchenne is real stress. You know, we try and do our best with it. We have our good and our bad days. We're very lucky. We have friends and family. Fionn's school is fantastic. And we have the trust that was started for Fionn. So we have an awful lot in place to support us and him.
And today is Duchenne Awareness Day.
Yeah.
And like, what do you hope to achieve, or what does the international community of Duchenne hope to achieve by today?
Well, Duchenne Awareness Day, it happens on the 7th of the 9th because there are 79 exons in the Duchenne gene.
Right.
So Duchenne is nice and complicated. It's the longest gene that we have in our bodies, which means it's very, very hard to treat. And every child with Duchenne has a different part of that gene is affected. So Fionn is affected on exon 11, which makes him even more rare than just having Duchenne.
Right.
And what we're trying to do on Duchenne Awareness Day is just to get the word out there. We need obviously more research. We need more funding. It's been amazing to watch the COVID vaccine coming out so quickly. But I know there are an awful lot of families who have children with a rare disease that are thinking, oh my God, if only we could have the same, you know, kind of impact. There are a lot of families that need extra help and extra support. And an awful lot of families are in this alone. So it's trying to get the message out that you are not alone.
So, for example, in your case, the house that you're in at the moment won't suit Fionn's needs as he becomes wheelchair bound, etc.
That's it. So we, very luckily, we bought a lovely house back at the bottom of the market. We couldn't believe our luck.
Right.
And now we're having to sell it.
Right.
So for Fionn, because he's going to need so much care, we're going to need hoisting equipment. He's going to need ventilators. The whole house is going to have to be adapted. So it doesn't work in a three-bed semi-D. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
So we have to find a bungalow. We need to raise €200,000 to adapt that. We're very, very lucky in that we have a trust. At the moment, they're doing a 30 days of Fionn campaign. We've had people walking across Ireland. We've had people doing triathlons every day. We've had crazy hair days, all kinds of things. And that's our target at the moment.
How do you communicate to a five-year-old that this is his life?
Very carefully. So we have very good support from Tala Hospital and from Enable Ireland. And they all were in agreement that you tell a child what's going on at an age-appropriate level.
Mm.
So Fionn knows he has Duchenne. He knows that that means his muscles get very tired, that he has to do a lot of physio every day. He has to wear his splints at night. He has to use his power chair. It means pain. It means being left out an awful lot. And for Fionn, that's very, very frustrating. So we need to explain to him what's going on. It's his body and it's his life. So the real difficult conversations will happen further down the line when we have to explain to him when he loses his mobility in his legs. You know, we will eventually have to have that awful conversation that I have nightmares about by telling him that this is going to kill him. And that is a conversation that we dread, absolutely, and every parent dreads, because there's no magic wand that we can wave for this. We can't, you know, put on a plaster and make it all go away.
In speaking to parents of other children who suffer with Duchenne's, who've probably lost their children, surely you're going to get advice from there how they did it, But like, I just can't imagine. I can't countenance that conversation.
No, it's, but you know, we have so many difficult conversations with Fionn where we had to bring him over to Great Ormond Street to take part in a drug trial, and his little body has been through so much. And you learn to put your game face on and park your own feelings and your emotions. They're still there. They're still there. Yes, they come back and bite you.
Yeah. And he is on a drug trial. He is
on a drug trial with Great Ormond Street. Yeah.
And this is sort of just managing, is it? Or it's not a cure?
No. So what it is it's a drug called vamorolone. He's the only child in Ireland that is on it at the moment. We fought to get him on it. And it's an alternative to the traditional steroids, which can be really devastating in their side effects. So this is a new drug they're hoping to roll out. So Fionn's on it. He's doing okay. It's not going to change the end of Fionn's life. It's not going to prolong it, but this is all we can do at the moment.
You mentioned early on about gene therapy.
Yeah.
And that's the holy grail, is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
The difficulty is because as today, the 7th of the 9th, with 79 exons, and it's the longest, without getting too technical, it's the longest part of DNA or part gene. It's very, very difficult to get the mRNA into it. So, right. You know, we all talked about the COVID and everyone's kind of familiar with all that now. Yes. So it's extremely difficult to treat.
So two of the most famous, Pfizer and what's the other one?
Moderna.
Both of them use mRNA.
Yeah.
So which is a genetic thing.
Yeah. And I'm probably saying this all wrong now.
This is your understanding of it. Yeah.
But basically what they're doing is they're trying to treat the boys that have the most common
first. Yes.
So Fionn is way down the line, unfortunately. So what it's doing with some boys is that it is helping them in that they hope to prolong their they call it ambulation phase, keep them going for as long as possible. But it's in early stages. Yeah.
I remember meeting a family and the dad had got a diagnosis of terminal cancer.
Mm.
And I was speaking to the wife and I was talking about a bucket list. And she said that they didn't have any bucket list.
Yeah.
That they just lived their normal life, you know, as joyfully as they could.
Yep.
They weren't planning on going to Australia or jumping out of a plane or going to Disney or whatever. It was just the normal things.
Is that it? Yeah, Fionn is a charmer and he knows how to get the best out of us. So he's blonde, blue haired and he's dimples. So like he can get away with a lot. Right. And we do a lot of things like yes days and where he'll say, can we have a water fight?
But we all
have to do it. I'm like, fine, okay. So it is. It's very much the little things, you know, movie night and popcorn and whatever. It's the everyday. We all learned that through COVID, didn't we?
Yes.
It's the everyday.
The things that we took for granted.
Absolutely.
That were taken away from us. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how can people help? Because people listening to you, they will want to help Fionn.
We'd love for people to go and visit our website. So it's fionnbrogantrust.ie or there's at fionnbrogantrust on Instagram. And I put up a few little videos of Fionn if you'd like to get to know him. And there's information about Fionn and Duchenne and also about all the fundraising that we have going on at the moment, including there's a raffle at the moment if you'd like to win a stay in Ashford Castle.
Right.
All the details are on there.
It's tough fundraising, isn't it?
It's really tough, but we have a magic team. My family, Michael's family, have all come together and they said to myself and Michael, you take care of Fionn and do your best and we'll take care of this. And my God, the weight that was lifted off our shoulders was massive. And I don't think they'll ever understand how much that means. It gives us hope where you feel like there is none.
There is none, yeah.
Yeah.
Maeve Brogan, thanks so much for coming in. And I know that you were a bit nervous about that, but you were brilliant. And we all think we know Fionn a little bit better now, and we're all very sad.
Thank you. But, really appreciate it.
Thanks, Maeve. Anish Toshi now, the Priest Scales and Inoktila, Marion Nihulawan. Gurama, good. Marion, thank you very, very much. 51551 ray at rte.ie. Maeve is a wonderful woman. Now, we were talking to Anita and Dom at the beginning of the show. They got married in Dunleary on Saturday, jumped into the 40-foot in the complete wedding regalia, wedding dress, tux and everything on Sunday in front of their friends and family. And we were talking about the first dance and Dom said it was Guy Garvey as a lead singer from Elbow, his version of Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World. So Dave outside got it. So here it is. I haven't heard it, never heard it before. So you and I are listening to it for the first time. Here it goes. That's lovely. Guy Garvey, his version of What a Wonderful World. Dare I say it? It's wonderful. Now, to burst your serenity there, it's time for our quiz of today. Today being the 7th of September, The prize today, a two-night stay in the Radisson Blue Hotel and Spa in Limerick. Loads of things to do around Limerick, as you well know. You can go to the Wild Atlantic Way, or visit Ireland's Ancient East. You can hop out to the Cliffs of Moher, learn to surf, Lahinch Beach, go to Bunratty Castle and Folk Park, or on foot, go to King John's Castle. Find out more at inua.ie, inua.ie, the Radisson Blue Hotel and Spa in Limerick. Susan Harris, good afternoon.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. Good to talk to you. You're down in Ballincollig in County Cork.
Yes, and the sun is splitting the stones here.
Yeah, it's lovely this few days, yeah. Isn't it? It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely little surprise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Surprise. They're like cheat days, stolen days,
yeah.
Extra summer days. So we met before back in 2019.
That's right. We were doing the park run in the regional park here in Ballincollig.
Yeah, which is a lovely park, isn't it?
It is. It's fabulous. It's great because I live actually very close to it, so I can walk from my house down to the park, so no parking issues or anything, so
right.
It's great.
And are you still doing a bit of running or walking or what are you
a
doing?
A little bit. I just started again, and I was saying to your researcher that I'm in the middle of college at the moment, so the running really helps with the stress, doesn't
it? Okay. What are you studying?
I'm doing Women's Studies in UCC, a Master's in Women's Studies, so...
Right.
I have a thesis due at the end of this month, so I'm right in the thick of it.
And I know the thesis is on a very serious topic.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on domestic violence. So, and you know, I actually spoke to Don Hennessy, which I know you've spoken to before as well.
Yeah.
And I spoke to him last week, but I looked at your interview that you did with him. So I was learning from the best.
Yeah, when Lisa Marie worked on the show, we did a domestic violence special, for want of a better word, and we had a number of women in who had suffered, who are victims or survivors of domestic violence, whatever the correct way to say it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very, and we spoke to Dom on that day as well. It was very, very strong to hear the testimonies of those women.
Yeah.
It's a horrible scourge, isn't it? Like, what about the boys? A lot of the answer is in educating young boys, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah. And, you know, I suppose a lot of the time people ask the question, like, where are the men in the conversation? And I suppose that's definitely something that needs to be looked at, you know. But, I mean, it is, you know, you kind of feel sometimes that things aren't changing and, you know, and I'd like to obviously see a lot more, you know, gender analysis in school and in the education system. And, you know, I suppose it'll take a while then before we see what kind of effect that has, you know.
When you say gender analysis, what do you mean?
You know, kind of gender roles and, you know,
tackling
masculinity and, you know, roles within the home.
That takes generations, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And then, I know we're getting serious here, but I just do worry about the availability of porn, you know, on smartphones. That's not helping either.
Normalizing something that is not normal.
So your thesis is due when?
The end of the month. It's due the 24th of September, I think.
So you're up to 90 at the moment.
So if I won this, it will be just a lovely treat.
Right. And you'd bring your 26-year-old daughter, who's a nurse in Dublin.
Yeah, Nikki. She just moved up to Dublin. She's got a job in the Maher. So hello if Nikki's listening. And so she works hard. She deserves a nice breakaway as well. So
okay.
It'll be
lovely. Rightio.
Yeah.
You're up against Michael Cranny from Dunleary in Dublin. How are you doing, Michael?
Great.
Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
You changed your job a few years ago,
and
you're a happy camper as a result.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What happened?
I was working at Tesco. No. To do with Tesco?
No. Great place to work. It's where you ended up. It's the plus, the pull of where,
I'd been working Tesco for a couple of years. You know what I mean? Doing odd hours here and there, 3 to 10, weren't really suitable. Then I got a phone call from a person in Dunleary Rathdown Council saying that I'd been offered a job in Dunleary Rathdown, which I didn't really fancy, to be fair. And she'd asked me, could I swim, could I drive a boat, blah, blah, blah. And I said, what's this one on at all? I said, you can't be driving boats, like going around sweeping streets or whatever you do in Dunleary Rathdown Council. So I was very reluctant to take the job, to be fair. And I just weren't out anyway. I took the job, and turned out to be probably the best job you could ever have.
Go on, tell us, what do you do?
I work in the harbour.
Right.
Wonderful place to work. There's not a day that goes by where it's not amazing, I have to say.
Yeah, so you're looking out into the Irish Sea, the comings and goings of boats and all sorts of things, ferries.
Everything.
And, yeah.
Just life in general, just the way of life and to be fair, the people you work with as well, which is very important.
Yeah,
like, you know
yeah.
what I mean? And all that sort of stuff. Absolutely amazing.
I've read it so many times that living by the sea, you don't exactly live by the sea, but you work by the sea, is very good for your mental health.
It is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So there you go. You're reaping the benefit of that.
Oh.
Okay. So your wife is Karen, 35 years married this year. That's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah. It is, yeah.
What's that? Is that a gem or what is it? Do you know what the emblem of 35 years is? Any idea? No.
I don't know. Try to be friends.
Sorry?
I think just trying to be friends.
Oh, no. I was saying, you know, the other way, every year has a diamond anniversary and a gold anniversary. Yeah. 35 years.
God knows. I was down in Galway during the week and I bought her an emerald.
Right.
So she was happy with that. So.
Okay. And you were answering there a question I didn't ask, but I will ask you now. The secret to a successful marriage, be friends.
The secret is trying to be friends.
Yes, that's
try
it.
Try to make sure they laugh.
Yes, that's it. I tickle Jenny all the time. It works. I'm not good at telling jokes. Anyway, right, 5 questions each. Whoever answers most correctly gets the prize. If it's a draw, we go to a tie-break situation. Good luck to you both. Here we go.
Good luck, Michael.
That's Susan there, Michael. Yeah. Now, Susan, first question for you. On this day in 1818, Carl III was crowned King of Norway. What's the capital city of Norway?
Oslo.
Oslo is the correct answer. And for you, Michael, on this day in 1999, a 5.9 magnitude earthquake rocked Greece. What's the capital city of Greece?
Athens.
Correct answer. Susan, your second question is an audio one. Have a listen to this. On this day in 1980, at the 32nd Emmy Awards, that comedy drama set during the Korean War was nominated for a Best TV Series Award. Can you name it?
Is it MASH?
It is MASH. Well done.
Yep.
And for you, Michael, audio one, have a listen to this.
It's time to put on makeup. It's time to dress up right. It's time to get things started.
Well, wait, the old opening better.
It's time to get things started on the most sensational,
inspirational, salivational...
Still with the 32nd Emmys in 1980, that show was nominated for an Outstanding Variety Show Award. Can you name it?
The Muppet Show.
Yes. That'll bring a smile to your face, that theme tune. Susan, question number 3 for you. On this day in 1923, the organisation Interpol formed in Vienna, Austria. Which of these countries does Austria share a land border with? Poland or Switzerland?
I'm going to say Poland.
It is Switzerland. Aww. Okay. Still 2 questions to go. Michael, your 3rd question, the chance for you to go in front. On this day in 1950, the communist government shut down all monasteries in Hungary. Which of these countries shares a land border with Hungary? Czech Republic or Slovakia?
Czech Republic.
It's Slovakia. So the border questions caught you both out. So we're still on 2 each. Music question for you, Susan. Have a listen to this. On this day in 1988, at the 5th MTV Video Music Awards, that band were nominated for Video of the Year for that song. Can you name the band?
U2.
U2, it's correct. And for you, Michael, have a listen to this.
I need you tonight, 'cause I'm not sleeping. There's something about you, girl.
Still at the 5th MTV Video Music Awards in 1988, that band were also nominated for Video of the Year for that song. Can you name the band?
INXS.
Yeah, Michael Hutchins, INXS. So it's 3 all. It's down to the wire. Susan, final question for you. Get this right and you put Michael under a bit of pressure. Here it is. Good luck with this. On this day in 2012, Canada closed its Iranian embassy and expelled Iranian diplomatic staff out of Canada. Which of these countries has a larger population than Canada? Saudi Arabia, Ukraine, or Australia? A larger population than Canada, Saudi Arabia, Ukraine or Australia?
Saudi Arabia.
Australia is 25 million, Saudi Arabia 34 million, Canada's 37. We were looking for Ukraine, 43 million. Okay, so you're on three. It's not over yet for you, Susan. If Michael gets this wrong, then we're in a tie-break situation. If he gets it right, Michael, you are today's winner. Good luck with this. On this day in 1952, General Naguib formed a government and became Prime Minister of Egypt. Which of these countries has a larger population than Egypt? Mexico, Turkey or Germany?
Germany.
You say Germany. Germany is 83 million, Turkey is 84 million, Egypt is 102 million, and Mexico has 128 million. So you were strong and weak on the same topics. Three all in the end, which takes us to a tie-break situation. I don't particularly like these, but it's the only way we can sort it out. Okay, we asked you to give us an answer, a guesstimate, before we went on air. Here's the question for our listeners at home. On this day in 1823, Kevin O'Doherty, Irish-Australian politician, was born in Dublin. According to Google Maps, how long would it take to walk from the GPO in Dublin to Dunshaughlin in County Meath? So, your guess, Susan, was?
It was 6 hours, but I walk really fast.
6 hours, you say. Michael, your guess was?
3.5.
3 hours and 30 minutes, yeah. It's 29 kilometres. So according to Google Maps, it would take you 5 hours and 52 minutes. So sorry about that, Michael. Susan is today's winner. Michael, we send you out a couple of mugs, one for you and one for Karen, to celebrate your 35 years together. Lovely talk to you, Michael.
Good stuff.
Mind yourself. See you. Bye. Bye. That's Michael there in Dunleary. Susan, well done. So
thank you so much, Ray. I'm delighted.
Yeah, it's you and Nikki off to the Red and Blue Hotel and Spa in Limerick for a lovely two-night break. Say again.
Here we come, Limerick.
Here we come, Limerick. iNewa.ie. You can have a look to see what's in store for you.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Well done, Susan.
Nice to talk to you.
Bye. Nice to talk to you again. Bye, 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 bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551 for your text. We still have to talk to Jack and Harry Tompkins, two of Ireland's youngest podcasters. But first, a little bit of music. Why not, yeah? Marshmallow, Happier on RTE Radio 1. Now on the line, we have two brothers, Jack and Harry Tompkins from Wexford, who've a podcast on RTE Junior called Two Halves. It's a soccer podcast that they started during the summer, during the Euros, and they've brought it back for a second season, this time focused on the Premiership. Hello, Jack.
How are you, Ray?
Hello, Harry.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
What age are you, Harry?
I am 10 years old.
When will you be 11?
I'm going to be 11 in exactly 1 month.
Oh, that's important. Exactly 1 month, right. Okay. And Jack, what age are you?
I'm 13.
And your voice is broken. I listened to your most recent podcast. It is very, very impressive. Like, you're up there with second captains. Would they be heroes of yours, Jack?
Yeah, definitely.
And Harry, go on. Keep going, Jack.
Well, there, you know, we kind of base our podcast, we look at all the pundits and on the telly and all, and we just, it's almost like imitation, see how good everyone else is.
Right,
and we just kind of base it off that. So thanks for saying that.
Yeah, no, it's actually brilliantly put together. And the two of ye, Jack and Harry, are so knowledgeable, but you can't help shouting for your own team, Harry. Who do you both support?
Oh, we both support Spurs anyway.
Yeah, why so?
It's kind of because our dad always supported them, so we support them now, and now we're the biggest fans in the world.
Do you think that's fair, that kids support the same team as their dads? They don't really have a choice.
Well, a few kids like support different teams to their dads. I know a good few people, but I think it's good following the same team, everyone in the family, so there are no fights over who's the best and all.
That's fair enough. And who's your favourite Spurs player, Harry?
Mine would be Harry Kane. I don't care about all the talks of him going. I'm happy he stayed.
Is that just because he shares a name with you?
No, I like him anyway. He's a good goal scorer.
Right. What about you, Jack?
I love Son.
He's a brilliant player.
Son Heung-min.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's electric down that wing, and he's always plays with a massive smile on his face. So yeah. It's great to see a player with that attitude.
Do you play football yourselves or just watch it?
Yeah, we both play for the Shamrock Rovers in Enniscorthy in Wexford. I play for the under 15s, and Harry plays for the under 12s now. So yeah, we just live and breathe soccer, really.
Yeah, what position do you play, Jack?
I play out on the wing, left wing.
Right, and Harry?
I normally play up front, like I'm a striker whenever I come on.
Right, have you a good goal scoring record?
It's an okay record, 3. But
right, that's better than none, isn't it? Now, what about Ireland's woes? It looks nigh on impossible that we qualify for the World Cup, doesn't it, Jack?
We're not in the best situation, but
that's an understatement.
one point on the board, but like Portugal are, I think, ranked the 8th best team in the world. So we did very, very well to play like that against a team of that standard. And it's very good to see that the youngsters are coming up, like Troy Parrott, Ida, Connolly.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, we just need someone to be an out and out finisher and score the goals up front. And you know, sometimes we're relying on the owl Shane Duffy to come up and get a header to save us. But I think we're definitely playing more expansive football. We're keeping the ball on the ground and we're getting it out to the wings. And I think we'll come good in the end. We might not get this World Cup, but I think the Euros after, or the World Cup after, will definitely be much better.
And that's what the coach, Stephen Kenny, is saying, that he's building a team. Now, Harry, a man that you're going to be talking about more and more this season is Ronaldo, because he's playing in the Premiership with Manchester United. What's your opinion on him?
I think he'll score a lot more headed goals than the last time round. I didn't get to see him when he was with Man U the first time, obviously. But as you can see, he's still capable of anything, like he did against Ireland. He played very well. But I think in the Premier League, I don't know how he's going to do, because the defenders, they're really good. And against Liverpool, like, but Van Dijk plays for them. But some of the defenders are really strong. And Ronaldo is a very strong man as well. So it'll be a good season.
Yeah. What do you hope to do when you get older, Jack? Have you decided, or are you still thinking?
I'm still thinking, but I definitely would love to go down this route. You know, a soccer pundit would be a dream.
Yeah. Well, you've a great show reel done. Like the podcasts are so well put together. Where do you record them, Harry?
We actually recorded them in my bedroom.
Right. It sounds like studio quality.
So we get pillows. We put them all around the wall.
Right.
And so that's padded, so we have a good amount of sound. And then, we just start recording, and Jack.
It's all thanks to our mum with the studio quality now. She knows exactly what she's doing.
Well, she does. She does. You could be the first. Is there any other brother coupling in punditry around the world?
Well,
the Nevilles. Have the Nevilles
kind of. No, I was about to say Gary Neville and Phil Neville, but I think Phil is out. He was with Inter Miami, their coach, for a while. I don't know if he still is, but I think we might be the first, definitely the first Irish ones.
Yes. Well, we look forward to hearing more of you. 2 halves. It's up there where you get your podcast, RTE Junior. Jack and Harry Tompkins, thank you so much for talking to us today. Enjoy the Premiership season this year. Thanks, lads. Cormac on his own today, coming up with Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.